You. I'm cricketer Michael Klinger. Each year, the SCG turns pink to help fund more McGrath breast care nurses nationally. Because each year, thousands of women, like my wife Cindy, experience breast cancer. Now you can bring some of that pink test magic to your community by getting your cricket club involved in Pink Stumps Day. Everyone who registers will receive everything they need from the McGrath Foundation to pink up their event. Register at pinkstumpsday.com.au.
Chasing and Pacing Rewind, Sunday mornings at 10:30.
That's us, Fred Hastings. Good morning.
G'day to you, Kev. How you doing?
Very well, and on a high after watching and replaying a couple of times this magnificent animal last night running around at Tabcorp Park, Melton. Wow.
Yeah, well, let's hear it again because it was quite something to not only see, but Dan's call was outstanding.
What's he got left, Tiger Tara? 6 metres in front of our Uncle Sam. The fixer can't go on. From well back, Flaming Flutter. Tiger Tara goes for home now. Our Uncle Sam can't match him. Third quarter, 27.2. But here is a horse who is really in the zone. Tiger Tara has taken the mantle of the best pacer in the Southern Hemisphere. And he does it again. The King of Melton, Tiger Tara, wins by 10. Second, our Uncle Sam. Third, San Carlo, from either Flaming Flutter or Buster Brady. Then Rapper's Delight, The Fixer, Cruz Bromac, Star Galleria and Raka Pukarula. Final quarter, 27.9, and the mile rate, 153.2.
I just try to keep him where he's happy, I'd not worry about the quarters too much, and just, I don't want to sort of be winding him up and bringing him back, and he just runs those quarters so happily, and then he can just got such a great 600 after over the trip. He's so tough.
Big Cup, Inter Dominion, Handicap, we'll go and do the Miracle Mile now.
That'll be the plan. So back to the shorter trip, and we'll have to wind him up a bit, get a bit of speed there. So.
Nice job, Toddy.
Thanks.
There we go, Todd McCarthy, Fred, and you spot on about Dan, a very measured caller at the best of times, but sometimes when you're witnessing something so good, you just can't help it, right? You know what that's like.
We have a very privileged position, race callers. I really believe this, that we get to see and be the eyes sometimes for those that aren't watching. And Dan just describes everything just so succinctly. You could shut your eyes and you're just there with him in the box. It's, you know, and it's just it's a privilege not lost on me. I think my lucky stars, I get paid to go to the races and see these amazing horses. I've called Tiger Tara winning a Group 1. Not the big Grand Slam that Dan has, the Vic Cup, the Hunter Cup and the Inter Dom, but hopefully, you know, it may well be a Miracle Mile in 4 weeks' time. But he's a super horse, Tiger Tara. That $2 million, he's crashed the $2 million in stakes earnings barrier, Kevin. That puts him in the top 12 all-time pacers. It was just an arrogant performance. He broke his own record, 153.2, over 2,760 metres, winning that race and beating good horses by 14.5 metres. And just these quarters, Todd alluded to quarters there. He said he doesn't worry too much about them. He went 28.9. This is in a 2,760 metre race. So the last mile, he's run 28.9, 28.9, then 27.2, and home in 28. He's come home 55.2 seconds at the back end of a 27.60 staying test, and it was arrogant. It was just the most dominant display. Credit to the great ride that the Frisbees are having with our Uncle Sam. So it was a New South Wales Quinella. Our Uncle Sam, of course, finished on strongly the place in the Inter Dominion and then came out and ran second last night at the Hunter Cup, giving the Frisbees a great ride. They actually won a race on Hunter Cup night, the first race, with major occasions. It was a big night for them. And San Carlo did a lot of work. It was a big run to finish on for third. But you put it into perspective, this horse has placed in an Inter Dominion, won an Inter Dominion. He's now won Vic Cups, Hunter Cups. He's won a Group 1 at Menangle. He's placed in the last three New Zealand Trotting Cups. And I'll put the neck on the line. People mightn't agree, but he was probably dead stiff in two of them, not two of one. So, look, he's been a super horse, and as Dan quite rightly proclaimed last night, he is the best pacer in the Southern Hemisphere right now. The other, just quickly, the Group 1 Dullard Trotters Cup to Big Jack Hammer for David Aiken and Kimmer Frenning. They were the two big Group 1s, the Trotters Cup to Big Jack Hammer, but the Hunter Cup, the time-honoured and staying test Hunter Cup going to Tiger Tara, Kev.
And, look, watching the race last night, Fred, he went to the front, and he just dared them to catch me if you can. And so many horses tried, and he just wouldn't let them pass. And I know he's this wonderful horse over the long distances. How do you think the Miracle Mile is going to sit with him?
He ran fourth in the Miracle Mile last year. He won a Group 1 qualifying to get into the Miracle Mile last year. Some say he's a better stayer, and I guess his recent record would attest to that. But when he races at Menangle in the fast class races and the Group 3 races, this is the nature of the conditions. He's always drawn barrier 10. He'll always draw barrier 10 in those conditioned races. So, you know, he's the victim of circumstances sometimes with tactics. I think he's a good sprinter, good Menangle horse, loves Menangle. But as Dan said, he's king of Melton right now. But I wouldn't be surprised to see him turn back to the mile. And Kevin Pizzuto could not possibly be underestimated, the great job he's done with this horse. And he'll have him cherry ripe. There's a big chance we'll see him at Newcastle for the Newcastle Mile. That's now a Group 1 race on Friday. And it carries automatic entry into the Miracle Mile, an automatic invitation. Other than that, he then has to go through the qualifiers that are run on the 23rd. So he's having a throw at the stumps here. Maybe try to get him into the Miracle Mile nice and early, and then he can sort of plan from there where he heads in the ensuing 3.5 weeks. But he's done a great job, Kev, and as we'll hear soon, we'll go through our Menangle results now. But he's got it on a string at the moment, Kev.
Yeah, great horses make great racing, and everybody lifts, and the interest is some, as we know, with Winx from the Gallows. But you get the likes of Tiger Tara, then the likes of...
Well, we saw it with Lazarus, didn't we?
We did.
It was on song. Yeah.
And even the Greyhounds, Poke the Bear, another one. Poke the Bear, that sort of stuff. It's just, it's magical. All right, well, let's look at home last night. Let's talk about Menangle.
Yeah, well, 408 won the first for husband and wife team, Gemma and Matt Rue. Did a good job, bit unlucky the week before and atoned for that run. Arts Treasure's gone back-to-back for Jimmy Rattray, winning the second. Smoky Quartz won the third, Kev. 24th win for this horse. He's earned over $210,000, and he really holds, once he wins... He tends to hold a bit of form, so keep an eye on Smoky Quartz in coming weeks. We then saw Chase Auckland. Chase Auckland did a good job last night, and we'll talk more soon with our guest. Here's a great story, Kev. Maxi Man. Now, this horse was a claimer, claimed by a group of blokes that just love their harness racing, given to the Tritons to train. Got it down to a Inter-Dominion Grand Final, Maxi Man. And then came out last night, and there's a lot of talk around Major Dan, Tiger Tara's stablemate, as being a solid mile contender. Well, Maxi Man was able to beat it ahead last night and beat it fair and square. So great story behind Maxi Man. Bought cheap as a claimer, made it into Dominion Grand Final, and who knows, dare to dream it might even make a Miracle Mile. It'll certainly be taking part in the qualifiers. I'll come back to the feature race. The seventh went to Dream to Share for Isabel Ross. She's doing a good job driving for the Amanda Turnbull stable. She came down the outside on Dream to Share to win. And now American Princess did a good job last time out, and it was able to score. But the feature race last night was the Hondo Grattan.
Sorry, Fred, I hit the wrong button there accidentally, didn't I?
Well, Tappy will be happy because he'll get some royalties, mate.
All right, here's the race.
But it's still Pickard packing plenty. Ashley Lopez gets into the clear spots at 3. Third quarter, 26-4. It's Pickard leading the Black Prince. Ashley Lopez is trying to wind up with Hail Christian. The leader still Pickard. Ashley Lopez is going to make one last close. Pickard still in front, close to home, and Pickard. Pickard goes home to beat Ashley Lopez. Third home in the race goes to Hail Christian. And then came the Black Prince running a cracking race. In behind those, Royal Gamble, Ignatius, Preston Pans. Then Rain Man, rack 'em up, Tiger Pies finished well astern. With All You Need Is Faith. Last quarter, 26-9. They've come home in 53-3, and they've gone 1-49-4.
Yeah, amazing performance there, Kev, by Pickard. This horse really came on the scene last week and announced himself as a Chariots contender, but last night was dominant. A terrific performance, a very aggressive drive by Lauren Tritton. And you've got to remember this horse is Group 1 place, Pickard, so he is by no means out of place in a Chariots field, and that's exactly where he's going to be. He's got the gate speed, the tactical speed to be in the mix, and I really think he is going to let them know they're in a race. But having said that, I thought it would be opportune to catch up with the driver of the runner-up, Ashley Lokas. It went out as a favourite, and Luke McCarthy joins us on the line now. Good morning, Luke.
Yeah, good morning, Freddie.
Ashley Lokas, drew barrier one, and in some respects, in my opinion, I thought probably was the issue for the horse in being buried away on the pegs. If you could draw an ideal barrier in the chariots, what would it be?
I think if you could draw two, three or four,
yep.
Freddie, and just lob in the running line, you know, we've seen how good he'd come off the speed last week with a bit of momentum, and you know, his run was really good last night. Again, he just probably got held up at a vital stage, but, you know, he went really good again.
Well, they went a 26-4, this is Pickard, a 26-4 third quarter, a 26-9 home. So they've come home in 53-3. You were three pegs and desperately trying to get into the clear, and you got out at about probably the 250 and then had to wind up on the back of that hot tempo. And the horse did a great job, Luke. Got to within, you know, 1.2 metres of the winner.
Oh, for sure. Like, I think his last half last week was 52.8. He's probably gone close again. And Pickard's a really nice horse. I drove him a couple of times last week. And, you know, he always looked like a horse that was going to improve. And, you know, when they get out in front like that, running 49 or 50, it's just hard for any horse to come off the pace. So, you know, if the good horses lead and run along, they're hard to beat.
And, of course, he's got a good turn of foot at the back end of his race. We know that. So if he was, say, you know, sitting in the running line only a couple away from the lead brigade, and we know the chariots, the way it's shaping up, it's going to be a pretty fast-run race. The chariots, the last few years, they've been breaking 150 for fun. So he's got that tactical speed to hit the line hard, Ashley Lokas.
Oh, for sure, Freddie. And you look at the chariots at Byfield this year, like, nearly half of the field could end up in the Miracle Mile. So, it's a very strong race, and I'm sure it'll be a really good race.
Now, I've got to ask you about Chase Auckland. It was second up last night. You drove it 2,300 metres. It's had 11 starts, 9 wins, and placing in a fourth. So it's been no farther back than fourth. Were they trying? The Perkins trying to get miles in the legs by trying to run him over 2,300 second up, because it seemed to do the trick. He was a lot more switched on last night.
Yeah, I think it was just more the fact of getting another run into him. Freddie, he'd only had that few quiet trials in New Zealand before he come across last week, and he ran into Pickard, and his own last half was 53.2. So he actually, on the clock, he went super. He just probably ran out of race condition the last 150 metres, and with that run under his belt and an easier field last night, he was able to win. And I'm sure, you know, he's had them two race starts. By the time the next round heats of the chariots come in, he'll be sort of getting towards his peak.
You sat deep. They were going pretty slick early. You sat back at the field, and as soon as they slackened off, that's when you made your move with the horse. Is that the best way to drive him, a little bit cold early and let him find his feet?
Oh, I don't really think so, Freddie. It seems to be you just driving how the race presents itself. You know, I know Nat's led on him a lot of times when he's running New Zealand, so... Mm. Or he sat up. So, you just, like in that race last night, I thought if I'd stayed in front of the one Chris Geary was driving, it was the only one that might have posted if he'd got to the lead. So, I tried to stay ahead of him.
If you could drive,
once you got the funny, it was hard to beat.
If you could drive either one of them in the chariots, who would it be?
Oh, I'd stick with Ashley Lokas.
Yep.
I'm a big fan of him, yeah.
Okay, well, there you go. There's a little lead for punters if that's how it pans out. I've also got to just mention the old 6 degrees of separation story, Luke, and I'm sure you'll find this interesting and be well across it anyway, but I headed off to Goulburn last Monday for the Goulburn Cup, and it was won by a horse called Conviction, who is a son of For a Reason, who you have at Cobbity Equine there, and you know the horse inside out, back the front, a millionaire in stakes, won a Goulburn Cup himself. So there's the first link, Goulburn Cup for a Reason, and he's produced Conviction, who's come out and won this year's running. But then the other little sidelight is that, of course, the runner-up in this year's Goulburn Cup, Lieutenant, a giant brute of an animal, is a full brother to For a Reason.
Yeah, it's great for the family. Like, there's just, you know, and like I said, Conviction's only out of that first 30 foals that he had that season before he went back racing. So hopefully when his next crop come out, you know, hopefully can throw some more nice horses and, you know, just keep getting winners.
I think he's had 26 individual starters and 18 of them have been winners. I mean, that's a pretty hot strike rate for a relatively newcomer to the size ranks. I know he spent time previously, but he's really, really obviously relishing his work, Luke.
Oh, for sure. And look, yeah, a big thanks to all the local breeders that have supported him because he's got a lot of the grassroots stands and, you know, he stands cheap enough and that. So, you know, if he can come out and throw good horses, especially with harness racing, New South Wales moving forward really well with all the breeding and bonuses now. So I'm sure he'll hopefully do a good job and keep getting some nice ones.
Off the top of your head, here's a little plug. What's his fee?
What is he, 2,200, Freddie?
There you go.
The Colonial discount, so it comes down to like 1,700 or something like that.
And you can contact Cobbity Equine for more. Big carnival coming up, Luke. You're obviously, you know, a major player in those carnivals. Is there anything you can share with our listeners that you expect to be on? You said you'd like to be on Ashley Lopez in the chariots. Are there any other nice horses in the midst?
Oh, look, hopefully I can pick up some nice drives through this carnival, like a Carl Fixel for the mares and... hopefully Ashley Lopez in the chariot and, you know, hopefully get a drive in the American Mile. So it's sort of an issue as far as our own stable. We don't have a lot of runners in some of them big races, so it's nice to pick up good outside drives for some of the good stables.
Good stuff. All right, Luke, well, thanks for your time. I thought we'd touch base and chat about Ashley Lopez and Chase Auckland and a quick mention for Four A Reason, and we'll catch up, no doubt, in the coming weeks.
Yep, thanks, Freddie.
All right, there we go. Luke McCarthy and Kev. It was a big night for the McCarthy boys, wasn't it? With Todd winning Tiger Tara. Luke got Chase Auckland home and was narrowly beaten in the Group 2. But it certainly was Kevin Pizzuto's night winning the Group 2 with Picard and the... of course, the Hunter Cup with Tiger Tara. And Tappy said, next time, can you make sure you play at least 30 seconds so he gets the royalties, mate?
I'll play the whole lot if I could.
I'm sure you would.
Yeah.
We're not a music station anymore.
No, apparently not. Okay, so we have Orange on today. We'll get...
On the grass.
On the grass. Wow.
They race on the course proper at Towak Park, which is quite a spectacle. One of my first jobs was... one of my first rostered jobs was calling the trots at Richmond when they raced on the grass here locally. So good to see the trotting on the pacing on the grass. And, of course, next week's their big Carnival of Cups. Mm. I'm pretty sure Mark McNamara's heading out again. He's done the last couple. So.
Yes.
Mark will be here to call the action next week. But, on the grass, it's quite a spectacle.
McDermott's here giving us the preview. Craig Easy will be calling for us this afternoon. And Fred Hastings will be off to Costco again, will you?
No, I've got a few things I need to do, a bit of stuff I need to do here around the house, but
right.
I'm sure I'll find some time this afternoon for a nice cold beverage.
Lovely. Sounds like a plan. Thank you, Fred.
Good on you, Kev.
Fred Hastings, Chasing and Pacing Rewind, wrapping up the harness racing component of the program at 10 to 11. Let's go. Greyhound Racing from Wentworth Park. Ron Arnold's with us. Hello, Ron. You there, Ron?
Yes, hello, Kev. Sorry, mate, just the connection there. How are you, mate? All's very well.
Mate, I'm very well, yes. As we come off the back of what was a huge night at Wentworth Park last night, a couple of Group 1s. Tell us where this night fits into the Wenty Park program.
Well, I suppose across all of Australia, this is sort of the night that actually kicks off a massive few months in greyhound racing. Obviously, all the codes head to Big Autumns, and Wentworth Park is no different. You know, we lead off the Derby and Futurity from last night. We head to Victoria for the Australian Cup finals, and of course in April the culmination of the Golden Easter Egg. So it's countdown mode. It's the 20th of April for the Easter Egg, so it's now basically 10 weeks away. So every week is a big week in greyhound racing, plus plenty of provincials and country tracks have their moment as well. And, you know, Richmond Derbies are on, Maitland Gold Cups are on. So, you know, the prize money across the next 3 months in greyhound racing is just awesome. And the quality of the chases also are just great. And last night was no different. Of course, the Derby and the Futurity, they're an age classic. So these are the young ones that basically we'll really talk about in 12 months' time. And if you look at the honour rolls of the animals that have won the particular races for the last 50 years, you know, basically since they've been incepted, it's just the greats of the sport have won the Derby and the Futurity and gone on to absolutely much bigger and better things.
Well, let's have a listen to them. Firstly, it was a great night for Jeff Britton, wasn't he, with both winners. But the Futurity here, Circle of Dreams.
Racing, Oakvale Magic began brilliantly, so did Circle of Dreams, and Dan Slippery down from the outer. Circle of Dreams has got too much dash, led Dan Slippery, and they get Oakvale Magic going to third, followed by Sorry Scott, Boxcar Bella, then Flossing, Furious Not Fast, Family Spirit at the rear, Circle of Dreams, the pilot a length and a half, Dan Spirit, 5 to Oakvale Magic, they swing, the leader Circle of Dreams, Dan Slippery tries hard, Circle of Dreams won the futurity. Circle of Dreams first, Dan Slippery second, Oakvale Magic third ahead of Sorry Scott, then Boxcar Bella a gap in the race, too Furious Not Fast, then Family Spirit, and it was one of the tail enders, Sorry Scott with those.
Circle of Dreams got home, paid $3.40. Did the win surprise you?
Oh, no, certainly not, Kev. It was one of those that the three favourites basically ran the placing. It was a matter of who was going to lead to get the clean run, and to be honest, out of box four, Circle of Dreams did everything it had to on the big stage. It stepped up, it showed the good early pace, and obviously it can run a very strong, you know, 520 metres. It's clocked 29.86. It had massive performance by Dan Slippery to keep chasing. Oakvale Magic, probably a little bit of an unlucky runner in the race. It got checked in the run to the first bend, got held up, and then cleared out to come home. But it was beaten 5 lengths in the end. But again, Circle of Dreams comes off a group win down in Victoria not that long ago, and it's certainly going to be a greyhound to follow right through 2019.
All right, so we move across to the Group 1 Derby. Everybody can't footloose as Axel did in the Derby.
Racing, Rio Brave, Dwelt, and Fantastic Yankee began brilliantly to lead initially, but then got dragged down, and they're all over the shop at the first turn. Garb got across. Garb has gone to the lead, going to second. Axel, Footloose, and Fernando Blast a third, making ground. They'll follow it up by North, and then Rio Brave back on the inside. Beryl Frankie, a long break to Corborn Maddox. They're running the home corner. Garb tackled by Fernando Blast. Garb, Fernando Blast. Axel, Footloose along the inside. Axel Footloose has won the Derby. Now getting through to grab second was Beryl Frankie just ahead of Garb, and then Fernando Blaster. They'll follow up by North. Rio Brave, Fantastic Yankee. He was dragged down when he was going to the lead. He's wound up near the tail with Corborn Maddox.
Yes, the race changed completion completely, didn't it, Ron, at the first turn?
Oh, obviously, I've obviously seen thousands of races around Wentworth Park over a decade. I have never seen a race like that. It was absolute a brawl at the first corner. Rio Brave just was showing huge pace. If it could have got the run, it probably would have lobbed three in front, but it just had a wall in front of it. It ran smack into the back of North. It turned sideways, took Fantastic Yankee, took a nasty tumble, but fortunately got up and finished the race okay. Four or five of them then got sort of pressed wide. It was just carnage in a Group 1 race. It's bad enough in any race, but it really sort of overshadowed the result. But you've got to give credit to the winner. It missed the kick a little bit. Axel Footloose was just sitting there minding its own business. Rolled through into third place as they headed down the back. Garb and Fernando Blaster were in front, but they had worked very hard to get around interference, miss interference, and their toll started to tell coming to the home turn. In fact, they even came together on the home bend when Fernando Blaster moved alongside a Garb. They brushed momentarily, and this enabled Axel Footloose just to get a smoky run along the fence. And he's a very strong greyhound, and he charged along the fence to win dominantly in the end by a length and a quarter in 30 and 35. And if you ever get a chance to watch the replay, boys and girls, have a look at the run of the runner-up, Feral Frankie. It was dead set six down the back with a wall of good dogs in front of it. It's charge time. And it is one to sort of put in the black book and, you know, in months down the track, maybe a stayer.
$9.40 you paid Axel Footloose. Well done if you picked up a piece of that. And what a night for the Britons.
Yeah, look, it's certainly good. Jeff Britton, obviously, these days of all the racing codes, we have major stables and kennels with multiple, you know, greyhounds and horses in their care. Jeff Britton, in fact, is over in Ireland at the present moment. He's on a bit of a fact-finding mission on breeding, and further lines to study, plus a little bit of fishing, no doubt, and a bit of tour. And he would have been linked to an internet somewhere around a hotel or a club, I can assure you, last night to watch himself get a double. But that in itself, irrespective of the number of horses or dogs you prepare, to win the major two races on the one night, that is a feather in your cap that you can be very, very proud of for the rest of your days.
So that was Wentworth Park last night. Did you actually happen to have time to glance at the screen for Poke the Bear in the heats of the Cranbourne Cup last night?
To be honest, I was. I was actually talking to Michael Phillips, who part-owned Dan Slippery, and he just pointed to the screen as I was talking to him. He said, "Oh, Poke the Bear's about to go in." And I sort of looked up, and he got jammed up at the bend, and I sort of thought to myself, coming out of the straight the first time, "You're gone tonight, boy." And then when he cleared down the back, I thought, "I know what you're like," but the leaders were still going well, and then that last 50 metres, my goodness gracious,
yeah.
His finishing prowess is just awesome.
Yeah, here is the call of the second heat of the Cranbourne Cup.
Racing, Poke the Bear a little slow to begin. Neo Cleo got a good start. Poke the Bear's trying to drive up in the centre with Juice Royal. The first corner, it's Juice Royal from Neo Cleo, the outside, and Poke the Bear. Then for the back came Ice Cool Caden, two or three to Cyril Figgs. On the outside was Where's Woodley. Second last was Doused in Mud, and last of all, Sweet Sparkle down the back straight. Juice Royal, the leader, got away by four to Poke the Bear, and then came Neo Cleo round the home corner. Juice Royal, the leader, Poke the Bear works into second spot, is flying now on the inside. Poke the Bear. Poke the Bear's got up from Where's Woodley's qualified for second, from Juice Royal and Neo Cleo, then Ice Cool Caden, well back was Doused in Mud, Sweet Sparkle and Cyril Figgis, and a brilliant run from Poke the Bear, 30.06, and didn't have it all its own way.
No, an extraordinary run, and again, you do watch the replay over and over, and 50 to go, you thought, well, the six is home here, but not to be, just bloused him at the last stride.
No, his spirit to win, and he just knows where the line is. And obviously, you know, the Thompsons are not frightened to take him all around the countryside. It's great when other states and other tracks get to see greyhounds of the top quality like Poke the Bear. And, you know, if he can stay sound, no doubt we will see him here over the Easter Egg Carnival. And it adds to all the big carnivals when the big names. And
yeah.
He's the pick of the sprinters on genuine ability. Yes, he does get beat sometimes, but it's just his racing pattern that causes that. But whenever he is clear, there is no greyhound at the sprinting level that's got a motor like that dog. And it's one of those that you just hope they stay sound throughout the year, because they bring so many people through the gate and increase your betting turnover dramatically.
He's terrific to watch. Anything else that we... move on from Wentie Park. There anything else we need to mention from Wentie last night before we move on?
I've got to be honest, if you want to follow a dog for the future, particularly with some big races over the Easter Egg Carnival, like New Sensations, etc., there was a greyhound in the last race, King Kratos. It's now four starts for four wins. And, you know, we all love these unbeaten records. Again, we've seen them in all the codes for a long time. People do get caught up in them. And I just think that's one for Jason Magri, trainer. He had a double last night, Jason, as well. And I think just King Kratos, the performance of that greyhound, it's going to win many, many more races in the future. And I think there could be a big one somewhere over the next few months.
All right. Lovely to chat to you, Ron. Thanks for joining us this morning.
No problem, Kev. Thanks to everyone for having us, and catch up anytime.
Ron Arnold there, Wentworth Park last night, a couple of Group 1s, and of course Poke the Bear outstanding in the second heat of the Cranbourne Cup. And we do have Going Greyhounds on tomorrow morning with John Brash. No doubt he'll be chatting about all of those things at 10:30 here on Sky Sports Radio. It's almost 11 o'clock. In just a moment, we'll get into some more previews for you. We have Mick Dummis here looking at that orange harness race meeting on grass today. So Mick will be along after 11. Mick Wallace is out in Dubbo, and he'll be giving us his thoughts at about 11:15. We have Michael Maxworthy at the Sunny Coast, Peter Ellis Strathalbyn. Trent Langscale jumps in with a sports update. We have mail from all our callers, James Tate, Sapphire Coast, Craig Easy in Orange. We've got Cole Hodges in Dubbo. Also, Josh Fleming at the Sunny Coast hopefully gives us some time. And alongside that, we'll see if we can't replay the interview that the BSB weekend boys, Jimmy and Phil, this morning had with Ken Callender. He just said some really interesting things about the whole Darren Weir saga. And bearing in mind that Sale Thoroughbreds off today due to the heat. No racing in Victoria.
Sky Sports Radio has your best way to reflect on this long weekend of racing. Tuesday morning, Ron Duffy and Dean Lester analyse all the action and take your calls. Punters Postmortem, Tuesday morning from 9, Sky Sports Radio.
punters, we bet you. You can't find a better betting app than the Tab app. With more live Sky Racing than any other app, exclusive race previews and the biggest range of race replays on offer, you have everything you need to give you the best betting experience all in the palm of your hand. Plus, enjoy access to detailed form, cutting-edge data and expert analysis from the best in the business. Download the Tab app today and stay ahead of the game. Tab. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
Join myself and Lois, 5:30 Monday morning, our special Super Bowl edition of the Big Sports Breakfast. We'll cross live to the big game. We'll have the latest on the test match from Manuka Oval, plus the winners of the Bathurst 12-hour race.
Wideline Windows and Doors can help make your next